And then at lunch on Monday, I ran into someone from this church, and he told me he was looking forward to hearing about my experiences from the sabbatical, and I assured him that that would happen, but it wasn't all going to happen on my first Sunday back in the pulpit. I'm reminded of a farmer explaining to a city slicker that a wagon load of manure is more effective if it's spread around rather than if the whole load is dropped all at once. So Mary and I had some marvelous, unique, even exotic experiences over the past 3 months due to the privilege of being granted a sabbatical period by this congregation and our session, and due to the generous grant from the Lilly Foundation's National Clergy Renewal Program. And so in the weeks and months ahead, you will have the opportunity to see pictures and hear stories of the diverse settings we found ourselves in, and some memorable people we encountered, and experiences that one simply cannot experience in suburban Cleveland, Ohio. Not that I was surprised by it, but I've heard again and again how insightful and inspiring this church's worship life was this summer because of you, the preachers from the pews stepping forward to share their thoughts and passions and beliefs and perspectives. And in the weeks ahead, I look forward to experiencing what you all enjoyed as I go to our church's website and listen to each one of those messages. Yes, this church did just fine this summer without me, which does prompt me to ask the question, why am I here? Well, I missed you. I missed all this. To be honest, it took the first few weeks of the sabbatical to mentally separate from this place. And then for the last 2 weeks of the sabbatical, I found myself thinking more and more about getting back to work and reconnecting with you. But it was refreshing and restorative to enjoy that substantial break from the responsibilities of this position that I am privileged to hold. But again, I'll ask, why am I here? In fact, I'm aware of at least two unusual options elsewhere that are happening this very day that I could have found very interesting to check out. Two Sundays ago, we were at Salem Presbyterian Church in the tiny village of Venedosia in western Ohio's Van Wert County, where U.S. Route 30 crosses the state line into Indiana. And I saw an announcement in their bulletin that today, September 15th, is their annual Drive Your Tractor to Church Sunday. I'm told there will probably be well over a dozen tractors there. Most of them are their everyday machines. I understand that a few bring out their prized, restored, antique tractors. I heard a member say that in the blistering heat of last year's event, so-and-so had brought his enormous field machine because its cab is air-conditioned and neither his home or the church are air-conditioned. But despite that fascinating option, I chose to be here rather than at Drive Your Tractor to Church Sunday. I could also have been at Kirkridge Presbyterian Church in Grand Blanc, Michigan, about an hour north of Detroit. That's the church that Mary and I joined when we were newlyweds. Just down the road from Kirkridge Church is Warwick Hills Country Club. Warwick Hills used to be the site of the Buick Open, Now it hosts a PGA Tour Champions event called the Ally Challenge that's happening this weekend. And for the extended weekend, including Sunday morning, Kirkridge Presbyterian Church provides parking and shuttle service to spectators for that golf outing. And at this very hour, they are holding Sunday school as usual, but today's worship service at Kirkridge Church is canceled as they use their providentially located parking lot to raise money for mission. And I could have been there waving orange flags at the traffic or driving shuttle vans to church, but I'm here. Why? And why are you here? There are many possible reasons. Maybe life for you is overwhelming right now, and you hope, you pray for a spiritual encounter with a power greater than you, relieving you of the anxiety of having to be in charge, of having to be good at everything. Why are you here? Maybe you are carrying a burden of guilt. And you're looking for a time and place where you can silently lay down that weight and seek forgiveness from the one you hurt. Forgiveness from the all-knowing God who balances justice and mercy. Perhaps even seeking forgiveness from yourself for having been so selfish or foolish or impulsive. Maybe what drew you here today is the chance to make music. Now, yes, we hear music so much throughout our day, but rarely do we get the chance to be part of it, whether singing from the pew or as part of the choir or simply absorbing as it swirls around us. Perhaps you came today because you hunger for a greater awareness of Holy Scripture, or you hunger for insight into the what's and the hows and the when's and the why's of God, all of that which we use this big word theology to describe. Maybe you came because you want to learn, you want to grow. I imagine that many of you are here because of the social aspect of the church community. I read in the Journal of the Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary that the oldest religious site in the world, the 11,000-year-old Göbekli Tepe in Turkey, was also the place where nomadic tribes would gather for a kind of camp meeting or religious festival. The archaeologist who works on that site speculates that civilization may have, in fact, arisen from gatherings like this. Since the dawn of history, humans have known that when you gather large groups together for intense experiences around their highest ideals, festivals, camp meetings, revivals, even political rallies, when you gather large groups together for intense experiences, new possibilities emerge. As Brené Brown writes in Braving the Wilderness, large collective gatherings are more than just people coming together to distract themselves from life. Instead, they are an opportunity to feel connected to something bigger than oneself. An opportunity to feel joy, social connection, meaning, peace. So the social aspect of this gathering is nothing to sneeze at. Maybe you gain enjoyment from interacting with people you've grown close to because you met at this church. Maybe you get so much enjoyment that it almost may feel like a guilty pleasure. But don't feel guilty. Instead, feel generous. Expand your circle. Here's what I want you to do today. Before you leave, I want you to say hi to a face that's familiar, which belongs to a person who isn't. Who knows if making that acquaintance, he or she may become another dear friend in the making. Why are you here today? Are you one of those who is nursing a deep, invisible hurt? Feelings of grief can stop you in your tracks sometime, even though some around you are telling you that you should be over it by now. Or you're feeling alone, forgotten, ignored, even though your daily life has you surrounded by people. Or you're feeling anxious about potential changes coming your way. Or you have general nervousness about uncertainties in our world. Well, if any of those are you, guess what? You're not alone. Others in this very room today are here seeking healing of mind and spirit because for them too, life hurts so much right now. Or maybe this is why you're here today. You're here because this 1 hour each week is an incomparable refuge from the 40-plus hours on the job, or the 30-some hours that the television is blaring in the background, or the hours spent behind the wheel getting to work or shuttling kids to rehearsals and practices, or going over to take care of your parents at the end of your long day. So you take all those reasons and more, and you boil them down, and here's why I think we're here. To lift up God, to be lifted up by God, and to lift others up. One of the purposes of the Psalms in the Bible is to sing God's praise, to extol God's goodness, to lift up God's greatness and justice and compassion and mercy. Lifting up God's greatness is a natural response to having been on the receiving end of God's gracious action, of being lifted up by God out of threatening, frightful circumstances. Psalm 116 presents a person's testimony of God's grace, of being lifted up by God. And incidentally, if you followed along in the Pew Bible while Susan was reading, despite the Psalm's title in our Pew Bible, I think the speaker is a woman, not a man. Because later in the Psalm, she aspires to serve God just as her mother, not father, her mother did. Sometime read Psalm 116 on your own with a woman in mind. It makes the psalm that much more powerful. Especially in those opening verses in today's selection from Psalm 116, the speaker explains how God lifted her up. The psalmist says, "The Lord is merciful and good. Our God is compassionate. The Lord protects the helpless. When I was in danger, He saved me. Be confident, my heart, because the Lord has been good to me. The Lord saved me from death. He stopped my tears and kept me from defeat. And so I walk in the presence of the Lord in the world of the living. I kept on believing, even when I said, I am completely crushed, even when I was afraid and said, no one can be trusted." And then the speaker in the psalm wonders what to do next. She decides to extol or to lift up God for all God has done by making an offering of gratitude, quote, "in the assembly of all the people." In front of friends, neighbors, and strangers, she testifies to God's power and goodness. Having been lifted up herself, she praises or lifts up the name of God in the hopes that others too will see that God longs to bless them by lifting them up, empowering them to endure, to survive life's disappointments and struggles. And in the New Testament's first letter to the Thessalonians, we heard Paul suggest a strategy for the Christian community to lift up those around them, those in their own families, friends and neighbors, even strangers in the community. And I like how Paul starts out acknowledging that showing Christ-like love is not simply being a pushover. You remember those familiar instructions that Susan read? Paul wrote, "We urge you, our friends, to warn the idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back wrong for wrong, but at all times make it your aim to do good to one another and to all people. Be joyful always. Pray at all times. Be thankful in all circumstances. This is what God wants from you in your life in union with Christ Jesus." Paul's instructions are clear, but the task is hard. At all times, make it your aim to do good to one another and to all people. At all times? Be joyful always. Be thankful in all circumstances. I mean, it's great when God lifts us up. It's an honorable thing when we remember to lift up our reverence for God before others, but lifting up others is hard work. That's not an effort that many of us can sustain on our own. We need Jesus Christ to model patience and forgiveness. We need the grace and strength of God's Holy Spirit to strive to love generously and unconditionally. We need each other for the fellowship and encouragement that keeps us going for Christ's sake. That begins with humility. As skilled, as generous, as smart, as capable as we are, first we need to pause, to be pensive, to pray for humility. With a humble mindset, we recognize that it's God at work in us that empowers us to lift up others. to bolster in times of discouragement, to keep hope alive when despair swirls all around, to speak the truth in a spirit of love when someone is being unrealistic, from a place of humble self-awareness, we're reminded that all we are, all we have, all we hope for is because of God. Our ability to lift others up is possible because we've known and seen and been blessed by God graciously lifting us up, guiding and guarding our way. I believe that's why you're here. I know that's why I'm here. And I'm so glad to be back here.